probably find a Chevrolet somewhere here at the Audrain Automobile Museum.
Oh yeah,
we got a Mercury 1950 Mercury behind us. If you're watching the show on Twitch, and you should be, or on YouTube, you can see that. But unbelievable vehicles. I want to thank everybody for having us here. I want to thank all you guys for being here this morning, which is awesome. Sometimes we say, hey, we're going to go do a road show, and you never know who's going to be there. But so thankful for you Newport people coming out. Jay Leto is going to join us in 10 or 15 minutes or so. We'll talk about his car collection, his involvement here with Newport and Audrain and all that stuff. Oh, he's walking in right now. I mean, I feel like... Should we just get rid of the news and bring Jay Leno on?
Screw the news.
Come on over. Come on. My Lord. This is entertainment royalty in the room with us right now. Entertainment royalty.
Talking about Ken?
Talking about Ken.
Ken's on a walk right now.
I don't know. What is going on?
Ken is
emo.
On a walk?
I don't know.
Is he emo?
Yeah.
I've been looking
That's kind of weird. Ladies and gentlemen, and yes, we'll get another one. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the great Jay Leno.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Jay.
Yes.
Are any of your cars here?
No, I've had cars here, but no, none of mine are here now. No.
How many do you have now?
Oh, you sound like my wife. No, honey, I painted it. You remember that. No, I got 208 on the road. It's a little stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you drive them all? I mean,
well, of course. See, yeah, of course you drive them all.
That's the point of having them.
Well, that's the point of having them. Yeah, exactly.
What was the first one that you got?
Well, you mean since I started collecting cars? I bought a 1932 Packard from Phil Hill. You know, Phil Hill was a Packard mechanic before he was a world champion race car driver. And one of the best mechanics, you know, when he won the world champion, I think he's the only guy never damaged a car, never had an accident, was never injured in a car. He had the greatest mechanical sympathy. He's the kind of guy who could drive around and go, oh, you know something? I think the left bank is running a little low or whatever it might be. You know, I get in a car like, what's that flopping noise? Oh, that's a flat tire. Oh, geez. You know. But Phil could act. I mean, so when he raced the car, he could take it right to the limit. Other guys go out, you know, they just manhandle it and they beat it up and the clutch blows, the transmission breaks, and they yell at the mechanics. All the mechanics, they all liked Phil because he understood how everything worked. He's quite a guy, and he was a real Renaissance guy. Loved classical music and photography, and, you know, he wasn't your typical, you know, womanizing boozer race car driver.
No,
he's a great guy.
And so you bought that Packard, and then you said, all right, I like this. I'm gonna see how many I can buy.
Well, no, not really. I didn't say, well, I like this. I got to get all the 32 Packards. No, it doesn't work like that. I mean, you sort of learn what is, you make some mistakes along the way, and then you sort of learn what's desirable. And you have to come to understand that it costs the same to restore a worthless car as it does a valuable car. So a lot of times people put a lot of money into something that's, you know, a four-door Bel Air. Well, that's not the desirable model. So to put 50, 60 grand into that, you're not going to get more than 17 or 18. But if you have the two-door sport model with the 327, oh, that's the one. See, you kind of learn, you know, how to collect them and which way to go.
Who has a better car collection, you or Jerry Seinfeld?
I don't know. I mean, it's different. Jerry is just a Porsche guy.
Right.
He's got a few other Mercedes. I like anything that rolls, explodes, makes noise. In any other world, you would be a hoarder, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I watch Hoarders and I go, well, you still got a path to get to the kitchen. I mean, I don't see what's wrong with the guy. Well, he's crazy. No, but if, you know, if you're wealthy, you're eccentric and you like to, if you don't have money, then you're a hoarder and get out of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
When you have all those cars, do you have one like your daily car, you know, your go-to to the grocery store?
You know, I've got a Model T, which is the greatest.
Do you think
car.
Jay Leno goes to the grocery
store? He strikes me as a grocery store guy.
Yeah.
If you look at my rear end, you can tell I go to the grocery store. Yeah.
What's your favorite car?
My favorite.
Yes.
I don't have a favorite. I wouldn't have all these cars.
All right.
Favorite.
So what's a car that you want that you don't have?
Oh, you know, I've kind of got everything. You know, you make mistakes along the way. I remember years ago I looked at a Voisin. Do you know a Voisin? That is a That is a French car. But it has what was known as a sleeve valve engine, which is an unusual type of. And they smoke a lot. They just smoked from the factory. But Voisin was a guy who was a contemporary of the Wright brothers, and they used to throw rocks at each other because Voisin said he was the first guy to fly a plane. Whereas the Wright brothers, a bunch of guys ran with a plane, threw it, and it literally went 300 feet and landed. Voisin was the first guy to stand next to a plane, pull the propeller, have it fire, get in the car, get in the plane, fly it around, and then land in the same place. So he considered himself the first pilot, whereas the Wright brothers, you know. So.
But he didn't get the credit for it, the Wright brothers.
Well, he did if you're in France.
Yeah.
You know? When you're American, you think Americans invented everything.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Well, Ford invented the car. No, we didn't invent the car. Yeah. But, you know, it's just that.
Well, Ford opinion. Invented the assembly line, right? I mean,
Assembly line came from the meatpacking industry. Ford went to meatpack and saw the carcasses coming down the line and went, oh, you know, I bet we could do that with machinery. And Ransom E. Olds, the Oldsmobile guy, he was the first guy to have his cars built on assembly line. Ford was just the first one to take it to the next, literally the next level. You know, just crazy, yeah.
Who do you think from an American, you brought up America, who's the best American manufacturer right now of automobiles?
You know, they're all pretty good. I mean, the greatest thing that ever happened to Detroit was going bankrupt. Because what you have now is all engine. You don't have marketing. This is Bob from Whirlpool. He's going to be in charge of our performance division. And they put stripes and mag wheels, but it's nothing special. There's so many cars from the 60s. The Vega GT. Oh, my God, what a nightmare that was, you know. Whereas now, people a bit more sophisticated, and you have engineers running everything. You know, Mark Royce, the president of GM, he's at Nürburgring almost every weekend, just taking Cadillacs and Corvettes and trying to get the highest speed and the best braking. And so I think American cars are, well, the new ZR1 Corvette, it's 1,064 horsepower, and it's probably $150,000 to $175,000, which is a lot of money.
Yeah.
But when you compare it to the McLaren, the Ferrari of $2.5 million, you know, you could get 10 ZR1s for the price of a Pagani or one of those.
Yeah.
So I think American engineering is really, really good. Ford is good. I think third would be Stellantis. But I think it's between GM and Ford, as far as, and that just becomes personal, whatever you like.
Yeah.
Jay, the world of electric vehicles appears to be somewhat slowing. Where do you sit on the future of all of our cars not being gas-powered?
Well, you know, it's like smoking. You don't outlaw it. You'd like to say we're banning internal. You just see where the market goes. Okay, now it is no longer acceptable to smoke. You see people in the old days, ooh, it's very sexy, there's cigarette smoke. You know, now you go, look at that. I don't want to kiss that ashtray. You know what I mean? So it's the same sort of thing. I mean, if you're not a person who's a car person, electric is the best thing ever. You plug it in every night. You got a full tank every morning. I mean, I have a Tesla, and it cost me, I think, $13 to fill it with almost $300 worth of, quote, fuel.
Hmm.
And a gas car, that'd be $100 or $80.
Yeah.
When I have to go to the airport or run into town, if I'm going to go to Vegas, I'm probably not going to take an electric car because I don't want to take the chance of, although the supercharging stations are pretty good, it's still 45 minutes you got to wait. So I would take a gas car. But I think that you can have both. That's what's great about America. You know? You know, I want to exercise, but I also like to smoke. What's the like? You know.
By the way, it's jarring when you look back at old Tonight Show stuff and you see Johnny Carson smoking.
Oh yeah, Johnny. come back from commercial.
It's pretty wild.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Is it weird to you that I was thinking about having you on and the monologue? You know, your monologue used to be what everybody would talk about. It's the way people consume entertainment and content has changed so much
Not really. What's changed?
It's not like people wait up at 11:30 to watch The Tonight Show.
Oh, no.
People used to do that.
You used to have appointment television.
Yeah.
First of all, you had people sitting in an empty room. Then the radio came in. Oh, you can have music anytime you want. Isn't that pretty good?
Yeah.
You know, and then television. Well, can you be home at 9 o'clock? Yeah, that's not a big deal. You know, so yeah, it's progress, but it's basically the same.
But I say it to these youngins that I work with,
yeah.
And I say, you, if you wanted to watch Jay Leno on The Tonight Show, you had to be up at 11:30 to watch it.
Well, for the last 20 years, you had VCRs and various recording devices. You could set your timer to watch it when you wanted from about, mid-80s to now. So it's not that big a deal.
Yeah. Do you feel like, Jay, do you feel like there's a – because I was at the event last night. I can't remember who said it. Like, a lot of younger people getting into the cause. Do you feel like you're starting to see that more of a movement now because you're seeing all these – unique cars that are coming out, whether it's like, you know, when you start to look at some of these Bugattis and some of these fancier cars, the Dodge SRTs, the Challengers, the Hellcats. You feel like you're starting to see younger people now get into...
No, I think it's the exact opposite, actually.
Yeah. Really?
Younger people now, that I talk to teenagers, I'll probably get my license when I'm 21 or 22. I was one of those people, I was 15 and a half at the DMV waiting for the clock. Okay, come get my license now. So, but kids don't really want to drive it. See, now, in my day, you had to go places in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Now you go places virtually. Like when I was a kid, you said, take, go, you couldn't get a naked picture and while you're sitting at home, someone taking you. Maybe you had to get a camera, to take a picture.
Polaroid.
Find a drugstore that didn't know your parents to develop the film. You know, you go like two towns over to Boxford, you know, go to that guy. He doesn't know me. And you develop these pictures, and he gets the picture back. And they have, and they would put that, they would have all the good parts would be covered with the, somebody else would censor the picture. Hilarious. But that's what it is now. You don't, you know, when I was a kid, you
In Andover, right? You grew up
in Andover. Hilarious,
You had to go to the photo mat to get your nudes processed.
No, not until you went to the drugstore. The photo mat came later. That was a little fancy. It was
much more effort for an unsolicited D-pic back then.
Exactly.
Jay, being from Andover, why are so many of the best comedians from the Northeast? What is it about growing up
here? This is like the funniest place in the world to me. I remember when Dukakis was running for president back in the 80s, there was no nationwide seatbelt law. So he said Massachusetts should have a seatbelt law. And there were people selling T-shirts that had a fake seatbelt on them. So you'd buy the T-shirt and you're driving. If a cop saw you, it looked like you had a seatbelt on. And it said, protect freedom. And I was like, really? Really? Oh, that quirky New England, it just makes me laugh. It's just like the funniest, it's just the funniest place. Yeah.
Now we do that with the HOV lane. We put a baseball hat on the headrest.
You get a dummy to ride it. You just go to any extent, you know, hilarious.
The Boston comedy scene, I always recommend it, but the film documentary when Stand Up Stood Out kind of tells that whole story of you and Dennis.
I never heard of that. What film?
You haven't? It's great. It's about the Ding Ho and
others. Well, I was working, I was working. Here's your typical Boston story. It was the Comedy Connection, whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was upstairs. So I go on stage, and people are being seated while you're working. That's okay. And I hear this kind of, hey, get on with that. I'm in front of a pole. Just sit down. Shut up. So they put this guy in front of a pole. He said nothing but complain. So I'm going along, and then I hear, what's that? And they drag the guy out. And I go, so I have to come on stage. What was that all about? The guy was... He's making a big fuss because he's in front of the pole. What happened? Billy stabbed him. Billy stabbed him in the leg.
Was that Billy Downs?
Pulled him out, gave him $20, put him in a cab, and sent him away. So I was like, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay, 3 months later, I get a call from the comedy. Hey, Jay, remember Billy? Remember the bouncer that helped you? What do you mean? Remember that guy was... talking while you're on stage and Billy stabbed him. I said, you know, that didn't really help me. Anyway, he helped you. What's the problem? He goes, well, Billy killed a guy. Now the cops are hassling him. I remember saying to him, do you think the cops would go after real criminals instead of guys like Billy? And the guy goes, yeah, I know, right. That's what I'm saying. I didn't see the irony in what I was talking about. Yeah, so that's what I loved about the Boston comedy. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Do you have time? I got to take a quick
break. I'm here. Where am I going?
All right, good. Because we're going to talk to Nick. You brought Nick with you. He's the chairman. We were at Wiggy brought up his place. We were at your house yesterday. One of them or whatever. Kind of a fixer-upper? Is that the place that we're at?
It's a fixer-upper.
Fixer-upper, yeah. Needs a little work. That's your guest mansion that we were at yesterday.
That's the classic New England. What do you got, some fancy place? That's what I love. There's nothing more Boston than that. What are you? What are you going to have it? What do you have it?
What are you rich?
Wait, think you're better than that Catholic school? That you think? What do you got, a fixer up a house there?
All right,
I love it. It's great. Just that Boston. It's great.
It's great. You miss it.
Yeah, I do miss it. It just makes me laugh. It's just just the funniest thing. I mean, when I lived in Andover, the guy a couple doors down from me, he heated his house with wood. He had a pump in the kitchen that went to a well because he wasn't going to pay taxes. I'm going to pay for the city water. I get my own water here. You know, it's like so much effort. What are you doing? But just think, you're hilarious. It's nothing more New England than that.
It's mass holes. Yeah, that's what we are.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Yeah. And proud of it.
And proud of it. Yeah. All right. Jay Leno is here. We'll come back. We'll talk about what's going on here this week and all that stuff with Jay Leno. We will be right back.
You got some fancy.
Well, we are in Newport with Jay Leno at the Audrain Automobile Museum and Jay's friend Nick Schorsch, who is the chairman here at Audrain.
Well, not just the chairman. He's the guy that funds this whole thing.
He pays for the whole thing.
Well, you know what?
That's the Boston way to say it.
He's paying for the whole thing. And shut up. No, but he's a real enthusiast. It's supposed to be a money-making proposition, but I don't think it does because a lot of the exhibits are free and kids can walk through and go.
Yeah.
So he really is an enthusiast. I think that's why the museum is so successful, because it attracts other enthusiasts, you know?
Yeah.
You know, he does a great job. It's really a class. It's hard to put one of these on because everybody's so suspicious, you know?
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you, I got the ultimate Boston compliment. This is only in Boston you get this compliment.
Yeah.
I meet a guy. I go, hey, Jay, how you doing? Hey, my friend met you in California. He said you're not an a-hole. I said, oh, well, thank you. He goes, no, really? He did. I said, well, thank you, man. I appreciate it. No, he said that. I said, well, thank you. And that's about as good as you're going to get.
That's what you'll get. Well, this is it's an extraordinary place, so congratulations.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place. The cool thing about it is, if you're not a car enthusiast, the wife's going, oh, we got another car thing. I mean, you're in Newport. There's stuff to do.
Yeah.
There's the mansions. There's the house tours. So there's all kinds of things here. You can bring the whole family down, and people can do what they want.
I was told by the guy who drove us over here today that you have a little shack here as well.
I do. Yeah. I have a little shack. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
How much time do you spend at that shack?
Well, not a whole lot.
It's one of many.
Yeah.
No, not many, really. But I like New England. Like I say, it just makes me laugh. It's just such a funny. Everybody's suspicious. Is he like a Hollywood jerk? You know, you have to kind of ease into it. You can't come here with attitude.
You were telling us during the break what you thought the most Boston scene ever in a film was.
Well, actually, the greatest film about Boston is Good Will Hunting.
Yes.
Yep. You got a guy who is an intellectual, but just doesn't want to, is embarrassed by it.
Hates himself.
You know, he's got the roots. Because you have an intellectual entity. You got Cambridge, you got Harvard, you got MIT, and then you got everybody else. And the two of them, it's such a clash of cultures. And that's what makes it fun here. I really enjoy it, yeah.
But the scene you mentioned during the break, the most Boston scene ever, was from Ted.
Ted. Yeah, Ted. But that's just because the Boston accent to the rest of the world is the most grating accent. Yeah, it just makes me laugh, you know. Well, I mentioned it before. And Ted, this beautiful woman walks in, very French, and it's got some expensive gown from one of the couture houses, you know. So, and she's like, what are you?
You can't use the word. You can't use the word.
Yes.
Is that weird to you? Do you think, would it be tough to you? I know you do stand up every once in a while still, but would it be tough for you to do the Tonight stuff that you did on the Tonight Show now, or stuff that you did on stage, because of the environment and the.
There's no environment. You know something, please. Funny is fine. If it's really funny, all bets are off. Because you hear a joke about a taboo subject. If it's really funny, you go, that's really funny. A lot of times, it's just not funny. It's just it's more mean spirit. It's more, and you know, you go. It's like when I was a kid, women drivers were every comedian's basis for their act at some point.
Yeah.
And at some point, women just go, okay, now you've lost half the audience. Yeah, okay, so it's like smoking. It becomes acceptable, not acceptable. Racial jokes were as common you know, people, oh, Bob didn't mind. Oh, yeah, they mind. Yeah, they didn't mind. Oh, he didn't mind being a slave. No, of course not. You know, I mean, but I mean, so I mean, ultimately, it's for the good. Does it swing sometimes too far to one way or the other? Yeah, but that's America, and it comes back to normal. You know?
Yeah. Who do you think is funny? Like now, stand up.
You know something? It's such a hard business. Anybody that's making a living, I like. Mm. Anybody who writes their own material is not stealing jokes. It's, I mean, there's different kinds of humor. It's like rap music and rock and roll. They're both music. It's music. Some guy, I hate rap. Well, I'm sorry, but it's just as valued as you or whatever you like.
Dave Chappelle. I like Dave Chappelle. Eddie Murphy said he's come. He's going to do another tour. Do you think he'll ever do one?
You know, it's really hard because you can't leave comedy. If you leave, you're almost impossible to come back because Eddie hasn't been around doing stand-up for a long time. And then you show up somewhere to rehearse or practice. Oh, he sucked. I mean, well, yeah, it takes a long time to get... You need a joke
back into the like
every 6 to 9 seconds. You need a joke every 6 to 9 seconds, just to keep it moving. It's like spinning plates on the Sullivan Show. You just got to keep it going. And to build up an act, because Eddie came back. Oh, Pete, I bet he's 10 times funnier than he was when I saw him. Well, no, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
Did you think the Brady roast was funny?
No.
Oh.
I mean, I thought Nikki Glaser was great.
Great.
Because she was dirty. But funny.
Yeah.
They go, okay, all bets off. Everybody else seemed to be using obscenities and so just for the sake of using obscenities. And that's why people, man, they go, well, that's why you... No, I thought Nikki Glaser was great. And she was as inappropriate as anybody, but it was funny.
Yeah.
Everybody else just using the F word and, you know, just doing jokes about Brady's kids. And as well. I got to admit, I didn't like
her. Well, she's a comedian. You can't have... former athletes trying to go up there and get in a world that they don't know nothing about.
Right. I get that.
There are other comedians, though.
You know, you got Gronk up there trying to tell jokes. No. Stick to the football.
I'm curious, Jay, that, you know, you talk a lot about coming back here.
Yeah.
What was the culture shock for you being from Andover to the total opposite in the West Coast? I find it very unsettling out there. It's just people are nice.
Well, it's just that. Well, the beach is on the wrong side, which screws you up for the game. Keep walking into the town. No, the beach is that way. You know, that part is it. But just, yeah, like growing up in Boston, people are, Jay, this is my parents, Bob and Agnes. Now, how are you, Mr. and Mrs. Minicelli? Nice to meet you. I don't. People would introduce their parents by their first names.
Yeah.
And I would meet, like, grown men that played video games. My dad never played even. What do you think of a video game? What the hell is this crap? But you see guys 50 years old waiting for, he got the new Fortnite? You know,
Ooh, shine. That's a shot at you.
Yeah. Hilarious. Just funny.
Yeah.
That's Merrimack Valley, though, too, that no video games for an older generation.
Well, yeah, he did dad stuff, cut the lawn, fixed the house, you know, whatever.
What did your dad do for work?
My dad sold insurance, but my dad was a prize fighter.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
That's what he did early. But then he told me he quit that because I thought this was pretty good. He said the reason he quit fighting was even on his best day at work, he still got punched in the face. Imagine going to work every day and you still get punched in the face. Every day. He said, no more of that. So he sold insurance.
Nick, what's your favorite vehicle that we see here today?
Actually, it's the white one here behind us.
Okay. Courtney loves that one.
That was my favorite.
It did so much. I mean, you have to realize that this and Jay drives all these cars better than I do because he understands every little valve. But this car is 40 horsepower, which is about 500 horsepower in a today car.
Yeah.
It probably weighs, I don't know, Jay, 1,000 pounds, the Pinard.
Yeah, probably something like that.
And it was built for racing. So when they went out racing in it, it went from New York to Albany and actually made it. And you didn't have a mechanic or anything, so you had to jump off and change a tire. Or if you had, and you have to keep pumping the fuel to keep the pressure up.
Yeah.
I mean, you're actually part of the whole rhythm of that
car. Is stopping and going around corners. Yeah. You know, people just keep going, bang, and you hit a tree. You know. They only had brakes on the rear wheels, you know, all kinds of things.
That's, no seat belts.
Right.
So you had to actually.
But you always tell people in that car, what's your favorite car? If you can only have one car, well, it's not communist China. I can't have as many cars as I want. No, you only have one. Who said I can only have one? That's New England when you have one.
Yes, 100%.
But this car is a piece of work to drive. It's fun. Unfortunately, it's not easy. But the funniest thing is if you drive this down the street, which we did during our veteran tour, we take these out every year and we have old cars pre-1907. It's called a veteran car tour like they do in England, which is called the London to Brighton race. We go Bristol to Newport and the American version. And it's amazing to see how many people come out to see these cars. The streets are lined up, and you could be driving a Lamborghini with pink polka dots and lit up on the bottom and a wing on the back and making a lot of noise. Nobody cares.
And this Mercedes, this is a $14 million automobile right here?
Probably. Maybe 20.
Maybe 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very unusual car.
I heard a story about how Mercedes got its name. Actually,
it was a Benz, and there was a French car salesman named Emile Gelnick. He had a hard time selling German cars in France. Gee, I wonder why. The only people ever marched through the Arc de Triomphe are the Germans. Hey. The French never used it. We got no triumphs. Twice, World War One, World War Two. So Gelnick said, I'll tell you what, I'll buy a bunch of Benzes if you let me name them after my daughter Mercedes, because that was a name that was pleasant and it didn't connotate war or anything. So then he had a picture of his daughter on the car. And so he said, okay, you can call your car Mercedes, because Ben just wanted to sell cars. So you can sell them in France. So it became Mercedes. It became so popular, eventually by 1924, they merged and became Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's
great. See, wealth of knowledge. Can we have a round of applause for Jack?
Useless knowledge. Thank you.
All right.
When he's smart, when he go to school?
Craig,
I think you're smart, eh?
I know we don't have much time, and I know you don't like, you want to own a million cars, but if you had to pick.
I rest my case.
If you had to pick one.
That's Wiggy.
Yes. If you had to pick one decade.
He doesn't have
everything.
To. The man can own every car.
I know
car.
That, but
literally just
gun to your
that.
Head, you got to pick a decade of what?
Oh, a decade?
Yeah, like what decade?
Oh, probably the 60s, because I grew up in the 60s and that, the GTOs and the Cobras.
Okay.
See, the greatest year for me was 1966, because that was the last year you could design any car you wanted. By 67, bumpers, crash standards, you had to meet a certain standard. When you car like a Lamborghini Miura, you can never produce that today. That's a death trap, But the idea was, it was cool and it looked good. That was the only car. Had to be cool and look good.
So you could make any car, put any engine in it. Didn't the safety standards were?
There really were no safety standards. Remember, there were no seatbelts. Remember, people wanted to be thrown clear. I want to be thrown clear in case of an accident. like the seatbelt. They're making me wear a seatbelt.
What was the when I was younger? Was it the Corvair that exploded whenever anybody hit the...
No, the Corvair.
That's Ralph Nader. He just made
that
up.
Ralph Nader made that up?
No. The Pinto was the one that...
The Ford Pinto.
The Corvair was unsafe by Ralph Nader. He had a whole book of the most unsafe cars. We've attempted to buy every one.
Yeah.
And we now have every one of the Ralph Nader haters.
You do?
In the collection, Just because... The Corvair is an amazing car. It was designed to be a Porsche killer.
Yeah,
it's a good thing, because good things came out of Ralph Nader too. I mean, you had safety standards, so it's a little bit of both. You got to take the good with the bad. Everything's never one thing or the other.
What's your favorite car in the collection other than that one? What's
in this?
What's your favorite? What's the number one?
Actually, it's the Asado Vercini over here, the black one.
Yeah.
It just came back from going through Europe and going to Concours.
Let's see if he was paying attention. Repeat the card that he just said.
Asado Vercini.
Okay.
Vercini Alfredo.
It's the black one over there. But
Neil Parmesan was the car.
It's an Italian Cadillac at the time. Yeah. So it's a very finely built car, drives great. Drove it around the craziest cities, Lugano, Lake Como, these little tiny roads, Roman roads. The car was great. He took it on the highway.
Here's Bonsifoy. My dad used to call the Cadillac the Rolls-Royce of automobiles. I go, Pomp, it can't be the Rolls-Royce of automobiles. The Rolls-Royce. No, but the Cadillac, it's the Rolls-Royce of cars. No, it's... The Rolls-Royce is the Rolls-Royce car. You can never get it through his head.
My dream car was there last night, the Bronco. Are those safe?
The new ones, maybe.
Okay.
Not the old ones.
Yeah,
that
the new ones are safe. Car.
Yeah, but, I mean, you're sitting there, you got a steering column aimed directly at your chest. You know, there's no airbag, there's no nothing. I mean, cars are pretty... I see cars now on the highway... Crushed up at a ball. Dad, can you come get me? The car got wrecked. You know, when I was a kid, 15 miles an hour, you hit a tree, you were dead. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
Parking accidents. Ah. People, you know, boom. But now, I mean, people roll cars.
And they walk away from it.
It's pretty
if
amazing.
If you drive a new Bronco today, it's a very fine car.
Yeah, I love
and,
those.
And if you buy the sport one, it's a little rough.
And I always tell people, if you've got a teenager that's learning to drive, don't get them anything pre-2016. Because you're not going to have the safety thing. You're not going to have the airbag. I don't know. Somebody, I want to get my kid a 65 Mustang. Well, it's a death trap. I mean, it's a wonderful car. And if you're mature enough to understand it. But you're not going to get any.
I was talking about that car the other day. I had that car. I had a 66 Mustang.
Yeah.
See, awesome car.
You're going to hold on to it.
289 V8.
Right. There you go. That makes it even more dangerous.
Was that your
was. I wrecked it. I hit it in a snowstorm. The back slid on me when I was in high school.
I rest my case.
That's okay.
Thanks very much.
Do you have 10 more minutes?
I got 10 minutes.
Do you want Jay for another 10 minutes? Entertainment royalty.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
All right, okay, so we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
What, are you in California now? How do you think you got your fruits and your nuts out there, huh? Is that right?
Yeah. Well, we're back from Newport, Rhode Island and the Audrain Automobile Museum, and it is Audrain Newport Concourse Motor Week. Jay Leno is with us.
Thank you. I got another Boston thing that happened there.
Oh, what happened?
I'm sitting at Logan Airport, right? I'm sitting there, you know, and... people come over, can I have an autograph? Oh, yeah, sure. Hey, how you doing? Take a picture. Now, like, I see this guy watching me, sitting like this. And the guy goes, hey. Okay, how you doing? He goes, hey, I don't want your autograph. But I'll bet that pisses you off. I go, no. I said, sir, I'm fine. He goes, no, I get that makes you mad. No, it doesn't, sir. I'm just sitting here. If people want something, I'll sign it or take a picture. He goes, yeah, well, I don't want it. I go, fine. It's fine, sir. Do you want to fight
you? He wanted to fight you.
I was supposed to fight
him. He wanted to fight
you. Yeah, I don't want your autograph. I bet that pisses you. Like, I'm going to... They're hilarious.
You are. You do seem, for as long as you've been in this business, you seem way too nice.
Yeah, it is really nice.
I have to tell you that.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People asking him for his autograph, and he's like, I'd be on it. I said him off air. I said, you are actually a nice guy.
No, it just makes me laugh.
Yeah.
I'm a huge believer in low self-esteem. That's the key.
You have to.
No, it's true. If you don't think you're the smartest person in the room, you listen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so many people. There's 4,000 recorded geniuses. I think 3,900 of them live in Hollywood. You know,
yeah.
I always meet guys, and he's a genius, but his screenplay was too good. No, it wasn't too. If it was too good, they would have bought it. Okay?
It would be a movie.
Yeah, you have these kind of arguments with people.
Yeah.
No, it's not good enough. You know, people go, that joke worked 3 years ago. I knew, but it hasn't worked since, okay? Yeah, don't keep doing it, you know?
Yeah.
It's not a great joke. You keep
doing stuff. I assume it's because you love it. Like,
I love telling jokes. Yeah, I've had real jobs. They suck.
Yeah, real jobs do suck. Yeah, they do. So a bunch of events going. We want to thank you guys for having us here. Round of thanks to you guys for being here. Nick, thanks for having us here.
Thank you.
It's all Nick. This is Nick's whole deal here.
And there's events that you can go to all weekend long, right?
Starting at about 11 o'clock, the gathering begins, and the Tennis Hall of Fame is open. And the most important thing when we did this was, unlike a lot of other car events, everything is within a mile and a quarter on Bellevue Avenue. So all the houses are real. This is a regular street. And the trolleys run back and forth, and most of the events are free.
Yeah.
The gathering, there is a charge because it comes with food and everything else. But it's kind of a party on the lawn at Doris Duke's house, a rough point at the very end.
Yes.
And the view is unbelievable.
Yes.
You can actually see Jay's house around the corner.
Yeah.
Ooh.
His fix.
Well, the cool thing about being...
Does Jay have a fixer-upper here?
Yeah, he has a big
fixer-upper.
It's a fixer-upper.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, like, see, like you go to California, you meet a couple of guys that each have 100 cars. You come here, you meet 100 guys that each have one car. No, but that, I mean, yeah. I meet a lot of guys that they had a GTO in high school. Then the kids were born, they sat in the garage, and then when as soon as the kids graduate college, they're going to go back and restore it. Yeah. You know, in California, you just give it to the guy and he fixes it and you get it back. It's all done. You know, here you meet a lot of people that do their own work, and they're not, they're nice cars not owned by rich people. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you got a guy that's using, you know, just painting in his garage and sanding and painting. I mean, that's what I like. That's what's fun about this. So,
yeah. Well, you were saying that last night or at the event yesterday, just about the fact that you guys, one of your intentions is to get younger people into collecting automobiles.
Well, that's the
collecting
thing.
And automobiles.
Well, we started something called 30 under 30. If you're 30 years or younger and you have to spend less than $30,000 restoring your car yourself, we invite you to come down and show it. And, you know, these kids come down and they got their, you know, Chevy C10 truck or their Karmann gear on the lawn next to Ferraris and Bugattis. And, you know, the mother's not crying anymore because her son's a mechanic. I'm so ashamed. You know, I mean, because, you know, a lot of these kids, they go to work for a Mercedes Classic or Jaguar Classic. They make $100 an hour, $150 an hour restoring cars. It's like restoring old paintings now. You know, cars have become kinetic artwork as opposed to just an old car.
Yeah.
So you get these young people, and they're just excited about different cars, like rock and roll and rap, you know. I had a kid say, oh, Solano, I like antique cars. I said, do you have any? Okay, yeah, what do you got? He goes, a 91 Miata. I go, well, that's not really an antique. Well, he was born in 90, so that's an antique.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just something different than what I grew up with, but it's still the same thing.
Speaking of, you bring up rock and roll. Did you open on tour for Aerosmith?
I played with Aerosmith when they played the Grange Hall in North Andover.
Wow.
What year was that?
71.
1971. Yeah.
Yeah. Steve and those guys. Yeah.
So was it like half fans that were there for comedy and half for the rock and roll? Was it the same audience?
Well, it was a rock band. Yeah. You know, I mean, it was, you know, it was different. You got to remember back in the late 60s, early 70s, nobody did concerts. You went to Lenny's on the Turnpike and you played there for, I opened for Miles Davis there. Miles Davis and all these guys, they would come into town for a week and you do 250 people for 7 nights as opposed to one night for 3,500 people,
yeah.
You know, and which was kind of fun because you get to know the acts and they would get to know the crowd and it was a fun time. Yeah, but Steve, I knew Stephen when he was here. Hilarious.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Hey, well, Greg, one thing about I just wanted to tell you one thing about the event. Speaking of working with your hands, Rod Emery, who is one of the great, I would say one of the greatest restorers, and he is the creator of the Outlaw Porsche. And he has behind us in the Tennis Hall of Fame today is all about Emery cars. There's about 40 Emery cars that they've built by hand. Most of them were absolute. People said they were taking beautiful Porsches and ruining them. They weren't. They were taking absolute wrecks. And they were restoring them to a very high level and then modifying them, putting disc brakes on them. They put disc brakes, they put fast engines.
Yeah.
They're amazing
vehicles. Are they electric, though?
No. They call them outlaws because you take a Porsche, which is, if you're a Porsche enthusiast, especially in the 50s, you had the string back gloves, you had the little hat, and it's German, you don't touch anything, you keep it exactly the way it was.
Yeah.
But Porsches are valuable, but not rare. But he would take Porsches, make hot rods out of them. Mm. And so the Porsche community, we don't want to associate with those people because they're with the hot rod crowd, you know. So it's like when you go to L.A. and you got pizza with pineapple on it, you know. Okay, to me, it's heresy, but, you know, but okay.
Best pizza in Massachusetts?
Whatever you want.
Where would you?
Oh, downtown Maria's. Is that Maria's?
Yes.
Yeah, very good. Yeah,
okay, Maria's.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Jay Leno, a round of applause for Jay, for Nick, for hosting us.
Thank you.
What do you put, pineapple on your pizza hat? What do you... out there with the fruits and the nuts in California, huh? Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, one last one for me. If you could only own one vehicle.
Only own one vehicle.
One, just one. All right, Jay, Porsche. You're the best.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having us. Come down to the Old Drain.
Yeah, come down, hang out. Jay will be here all weekend. We will be as well, and we got to get to Courtney into what is trending right now.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. The Falcons took down the Bucks last night in overtime. Final score 36-30. Kirk Cousins completed 42 of 58 passes for 509 yards, four touchdowns, and an interception. It'll be the Mets that are taking on the Phillies in the NLDS after a wild win over the Brewers last night.
We're doing a quick picture with Mr. Leno. All right, good. There we go. Mr. Leno.
Thank you, Jay.
There he is. It's one of those California guys. One of those Hollywood elite.
A Pete Alonso three-run homer in the ninth gave them a 4-2 win.
And what a head of hair. I am so envious.
Yeah, you're envious.
Oh, my God.
Didn't you say your mom loves
My mom loved Jay Leno. Oh, and my mom's sister who passed was like, she lived in Northridge, California.
Yeah.
She was that masshole. She was the eldest of them in Lexington. She moved to L.A. and she hated everything about L.A. but spent her life out there. She and my mom loved Jay Leno.
And such an awesome guy.
He was so
cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Such a legit, like, I find it to be in almost every walk of life, those that are the most talented and successful are most at ease. And I always think it's chicken or the egg. But once you get comfortable, the line he said about the geniuses, once you accept that you have a low IQ or that you have a lower self-esteem, you have to listen. What a brilliant way to view life. If you walk into a room thinking you have all the answers, you're going to leave no smarter than you entered.
Well, and he also doesn't have to pretend. Like, I think a lot of people are pretending that they are this or they are that, and he's not.
I love that idea, too, about encouraging people under 30 that you have to bring in a car that you spent less than $30,000 restoring.
Yeah.
What a cool concept.
Yeah, he was really, really cool. Yeah. Patriots game on Sunday, 1 p.m. kickoff against the Dolphins at Gillette. And before that, tomorrow, BC at UVA at noon. You can listen to that right here on EEI. And it's here. The prime rib dinner is back at the Nines. 16 ounces of slow-roasted USDA choice prime rib served with your choice of two sides. Available every Friday and Saturday after 4 p.m. and all day on Sunday. You got to love the Nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather. Oh, I'm sorry. Shime, walk for this weekend. Oh.
All right, let's try and break the streak here. Let's go Green Bay laying 3 at the LA Rams.
Ooh.
Matt LaFleur, 4-0 against Sean McVay. Green Bay needs a win to keep up with the Vikings and the Lions. So give me the Packers laying 3 at the Rams.
All right.
All right, what about Brett Favre in London? Do you think Brett Favre ends up winning this football game?
Brett Favre?
What?
What's his name? Aaron Rodgers. I'm locked into Jay Leno's time.
Okay.
That was like a glitch in
Brett
the matrix.
Favre is actually starting in place of Jacoby Brissett. Right.
I was thinking, did you mean they're going to win it for him?
Aaron Rodgers, does he write the Jets ship?
No, they lose, and Robert Sala stays in England, and they come back without him.
All right. Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you.
Curtis, can you give us the weather?
I don't know where I am. 60 degrees. It was just so cool when you meet someone that you really look up to and better than what you anticipated.
Agreed.
Yes, I agree with you.
That's awesome. It's like how I felt when I first met Wiggy.
I appreciate it.
60 degrees right now, afternoon high of 73.